He brings persecution, and we're going to see more persecution than we've ever seen for true believers. Watered down believers are not going to be persecuted because they're not going to take a stand. But real, true, bona fide believers are going to be persecuted for what they believe. And it'll come on their jobs. It'll come in society. It'll come in social settings. There'll be a persecution, a pushing against you for you to be quiet. There'll be trouble and tribulation, hardship. The cares of this life, the pleasures of life, the offenses that come from being in relationship with other people. These are all things that are designed to keep you out of the fight of faith. The cares of this life, for instance, like anxiety and worries, if not handled properly. Now, everybody have cares come to them, but there's a proper way for you to handle cares. Do you know the proper way to handle a care, a worry, or concern? You're supposed to cast it on to the Lord. Now, are you practicing that? Do you practice giving those cares to God? Because if you don't, then they will cause you to have a wrong focus. Instead of looking at God and looking at your purpose, you'll start focusing on your problems. Now you got misdirected, misguided focus. That means that you're seeing the wrong thing. Amen. Praise God. To focus is to concentrate. What you focus on or concentrate on will become the center of attention and activity in your life. What you focus on is what becomes the center of your life. If you're not focused on Jesus, he's not going to be the center. Whatever you focus on is what's going to take over. So Satan wants to distract you so that your eyes are not on Jesus when the scripture says looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on him, because he's the one that holds the key and the plan for your life. Glory to God.
Glory to God. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor more than silver and gold. I think it's so important for us to teach our young people about a good name. When I was coming up, I heard that a lot. Older folk made clear that you understood your heritage, that you understood your pedigree, that you understood who your people were in the community and what they stood for in the community. They wanted to make sure that you understood that it took hard work. It took good work. It took good things all of their lives to build up the good name. It didn't happen overnight. And they were careful that you didn't mess up their good name. They had a good name in the church. They had a good name in the community. They had a good name with authorities. They had a good name with their neighbors. They had a good name with their creditors. Y'all getting quiet on me here. Yeah. They had a good name that brought to them a life that was worth living. And even though they didn't have everything that they desired to have, they had a good name. And that brought much. I think it's important that you understand that a name is greatly gravely important and has great linkage with things that are important and with things that are successful. But on the contrary, or contrary-wise, just the opposite. If it's a bad name, it's usually associated with bad things and bad happenings and bad vibes, and people just don't like to be with you just when they hear that name. If I called you, if I said that's Jezebel's daughter, you hear the way the crowd is snickering. They, some of you young folk don't know who Jezebel is, but ask your mamas and your grandmamas and all of them. They'll tell you about Jezebel and the spirit of Jezebel. It's not a good name, you know. But if I said Ruth, or if I said Mary, the mother of Jesus, now Mary Magdalene had another story, but she got herself together. And I just want to tell you, when you say a name, there are feelings and thoughts and sentiments connected with that name. And so when you said you were a member of a certain named family, people automatically got a picture of who you were based on your name and your connection. Now, is this biblical? Yes, it is. One of the things you will find out in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. But look at what he says first. If my people, which are called by my name. Now, he's not talking about other folk who are not called by his name. He's talking about his children now. He's talking about believers who bear his name have a responsibility not only to him, but to represent him in the fashion in which he has established. And my brothers and sisters, what we must know, that even if your earthly name was not one associated with goodness, as a believer, you've got the best name that earth could ever be aware of or have been made known by, and that's the name of God. You're children of the Most High God. That means he expects you to operate on the highest standard of good. That means he expects you to be peculiar and different and separated from the world. That means when you walk, folk take notice at you because your walk is a walk different from the walk of the world. When you work, your work is different because it says that you're doing it with a spirit of excellence as unto the Lord. You're not with folk who say, well, they don't pay me to do that. And yet it is within your ability to do it. And just because you finish your job, you sit there and fold your hands and say, I'm through with my work. Is the job through? Then you seek to put your hands wherever it can help once you've done your part, because it's a team effort. See, employers look for employees that rise to the top.
those that are not lazy, and those who are not just working for a paycheck, but those who take their work seriously, who do their work as unto the Lord. And that's what makes the Lord's name great in the workplace. But then when you don't act like that, when you aren't responsible like that, when you find yourself taking longer breaks than you ought to take, find yourself doing stuff you ought not be doing, find yourself using employee materials for personal use, if you find your, y'all getting quiet on me here. All of these things suggest, listen, who you are and where you come from. And what, recognize this, that even if your family name is not great, the name of your God is. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Listen to me, young people. The world shows us great riches, and as it shows us great riches, it shows us by any means necessary. Young girls out there showing their bodies, selling their bodies, disrespecting their bodies, and yet they want best of everything. Best men, best lives, best situations. Well, you got to be best girl. You got to know a godly man is looking for a godly woman. Listen at me well. Listen at me well. Listen, men are men. Let me say that. Let me qualify and quantify what that means. Listen, it's amazing how, and I've said this in many arenas, how mothers will tell their daughters how to act. I'm going to just put it like that. I'm gonna put it like that. Mothers will tell their daughters what they ought to do and what they ought not do. But when it comes to their boys, they close their mouths many times. Many times when it comes to their boys, it's all right for their boys to do what they don't want their daughters to do. And that's not right. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times mothers don't have fathers in the house to help them rear those boys. And they've got to be mother and father to help them understand how a good name is a good name, whether there is a father in the house or not. It is about who you are and what you stand for and how you rear your children. Just because daddy decided he didn't want to stick around for the job don't mean that you can do just your job. You've got to pick up the slack until the Lord sends someone else there. You've got brothers, print those brothers on in and make them uncles who participate in the process. You've got a father, let him step on in. In other words, you've got to help balance that boy's life so that he is able to get a full picture of what a good man is supposed to be. And too many times there are not those examples around. And then men in the street, all those who are less than godly and good, become influential in these young people's lives. And they're used to taking what they want rather than working for what they want. They're used to conniving and getting over and going through all of those kinds of games, trying to make it through life. And it doesn't matter who they step on, doesn't matter who they hurt, because it's all about getting what they want at any cost. And those kind of folk don't have a good name nor a good reputation, and those are not the kind of people that you want to associate with. You know, listen. A lot of times we make mistakes in life. And with the grace of God, we can rebound from those mistakes. Because God is a loving and forgiving God. And if we come to him and we repent and turn our lives around, he can change us. But if he does not have that opportunity, anyone outside of him will not live a life that's worthy of him. And you need to be careful, because the Bible teaches us as believers to be careful not to yoke ourselves with unbelievers. And too many believers are unhappy right now because they are yoked together unequally with a non-believer. Let me tell you something about a non-believer. Non-believers can look good, they can be fine, they can be healthy, they can be all that you want to do, but if they don't have a heart for God, if they've not been changed, if they've not been rearranged, if they are not children of the Most High God, then they can't even begin to enter into your space. Listen, a good name is so important, because what is so important about that name is what is in that name is generally transferred into the children of that name. You learn what you live. When you see mannerable children, when you see children who are careful to handle you and speak in a certain way with respect and honor, you know where they got it from 9 out of 10 times. When you speak to their parents, you know what they are about before you ever see them. But when you see disrespectful children and children who don't know how to look you in the eye, don't know how to speak to you with any kind of respect, don't know how to handle you with any kind of respect, you know what the parent is going to be like. Old preachers used to tell you, when they see the children, you can tell whether or not the Lord been in that house. Matter of fact, old preachers were wise. They would. You know, they say, if you really want to know how a family feel about you, just speak to the children. And if the children don't like you, it's a good sign that the parents ain't been saying no good things about you. But generally, when the children love you, it's generally because the parents love you and they show up and speak well of you. And so you've got to recognize that character isn't a name. Character isn't a name. A good name. Character is there. Why is character so important? Because character is shortly expressed and explained, is you at your best in the dark. Meaning this, that you do good when isn't a person or a soul around you watching you. You don't need nobody around you to do right. When you're really good and you have been reared that way and that's a part of your character, you just do things. When you're good and then that, you know, good manners are a part of you, you'll find yourself. If you sneeze, you put your hand over your mouth to catch yourself. You find yourself doing something, nobody's just saying certain things. Excuse me. Nobody's there. You just, why, that's just a part of you. Things you do them not because folk are watching or not before because folk are paying attention to you, but it's the right thing to do. You learn how to do the right thing even at the wrong times. You know, you learn. It may be late at night. It's a four-way stop. Nobody's coming. But the four-way stop say stop all way. That means don't do a rolling stop. I'm just talking about character shows up there. You right there, you stop. Come to the police, stop, you look around. Because here's what you don't know. You don't know who's watching you. Isn't it amazing how police come up out of the strangest places? You driving and you ain't see nobody around you. You going on and, you know, you talking, you reaching down, you all over. Where'd he come from? Well, I've been watching you for the last 2 miles and you've been zigzagging. Yeah. Oh, I was officer. No, you were texting. I was watching you. Pull on over. You know, and let's do, see, but when you know the rules, you're not supposed to text and drive. Because let's think you can do it. But the fact that you've taken your eyes off the road for 2 seconds, somebody could have pulled in front of you and stopped, walked across, and you didn't see it because you did not have your focus where it ought to have been. And somebody is not alive today because you didn't do the right thing. And so, I mean, character shows up in all of those different ways. It's not just the major issues. It's the little bitty things. But when you have a good name and you're taught the right things, it builds confidence in you. Confidence is in a good name. That if I do the right thing, that I have God on my side, and I can expect the right thing to happen out of it. It doesn't mean that the devil won't step in, but here's what I know. He can't do no more than God allows him to do. And in the end, I win. See, I'm confident in that. Job was confident in that, so much so when three of his friends tried to tell him he must have been wrong, got it wrong, did something in the dark that they didn't see, but God saw it, and that's the reason he was suffering so much. Job went to God, and he said, God, if I missed it somewhere, don't know how, I've repented for it, I've sacrificed, I've burned offerings, he's done all of these things, and he knew that was no conviction of God's spirit that he had done anything wrong. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why will I trust him? Because he's trustworthy. In other words, God's going to honor his word. He's going to back up his word. And when you have that confidence in word, in God's word, it's because you honor him and you know that he honors you. When you are truly a child of God and have the good name of God and you follow principles that are good, you begin to realize that the confidence that is from God's word lives in you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I trust him to tell me which way to go when I don't know what way to go. I trust him to tell me what decision to make when I don't know the right decision to make. I trust him to tell me what investment to invest in, because I know he knows best. I trust him in all things. And in all things, he leads me in the paths that are best for me. Look at what he says. Again, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That means this. If you sell your name, connected with your God, connected with your soul out for riches, you have missed the mark. Jesus put it this way. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Then he asked this question. Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? Now listen at this. Because when you have a good name, first of all, you recognize that there is nothing greater than your relationship with God. No great riches. There's nothing that you should do There's many things you could do, but nothing you should do that will dishonor your name. Because your name is connected with God's name. As a child of God, your name represents God. And when you do anything that dishonors God, then that means that you have brought dishonor upon God. And he's not going to bless the efforts that you have put out in dishonoring him. And that means you can get all of the money you want. You can have all of the fake friends you want. You can have any kind of job with the position and title and 6-7 figures you want. But when you have dishonored God, then you have just begun to live your hell. What will you give in exchange for your soul? If they gave you all the money in the world, do you know what? With all the money in the world, and you can buy everything and anything you wanted, after a while, it would be like nothing to you. Nothing to you, because it comes so easily, and there is no trying, there is no striving, there is no nothing. You just pull it out and, you know, charge it and or flip the money out in paper, and nobody says no to you, and you begin to realize you don't have real people around you. They're just kissing up to you for your money. They're just trying to do what it takes to be around you, hoping that some of that will fall off on them. And you begin to realize you don't have real people around you who will tell you the truth and who will be honest with you and give you true feedback and tell you what's right and tell you what's wrong, because they want to have that fellowship all for the riches and not for the righteousness. But look what he says is better. Loving favor, listen, is better than silver and gold. Loving favor, and I'm closing on this, listen at this. Why do we need loving favor? Well, let me first tell you, as a child of God, you already have it. It's called grace. Anybody know anything about grace? I'm talking about amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch. That's what that grace did. Once was lost, spiritually blind, but now we see because of grace and favor. Favor. Favor, listen, is God looking upon you and giving you something you don't deserve. Now, when you think about that, you think about all the times that the favor that God has given you has been something that you didn't deserve. I think if you took a pen and paper and sat down each day and think about, just wrote down what you know you didn't deserve the day, but God gave it to you anyway. That's called favor. You see, listen, the loving favor of God means that he has attached not only his ability to bless you when you don't deserve it, but loving you in spite of you. And loving favor, listen, literally means he gives it to you when you don't deserve you, and then you still, he makes you feel good about it when you ought to feel bad. See, like a loving parent who blesses you, and listen, they correct you and they straighten you out. But even in the midst of doing this, they show it to you in a way that makes you feel, listen, I don't deserve this. I have a good mama. I have a good daddy. I have good parents who bless me. I ought to be grateful for this loving favor. Loving favor is so important to the people of God, and to the children of God, and to the young people, that they understand the loving favor of God will open up doors that no degrees will open up for you. The loving favor will bring you into the right relationship with the right people who will honor you and respect you and treat you the way that you ought. Loving favor will lead you in the right path to the right purpose that God has planned for your life, to connect you with what you should be doing, where you